Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Richard. Merry Christmas.
As we begin our service of the Lord, our Savior, we're so thankful that he brought us to what we celebrate on earth as Christmas Day, Christ's birthday. We know that he wasn't born. Thank God that he was born and that he came into this world to wash us of all unrighteousness that we couldn't wash ourselves of. He not only washed us, but he forgave us. And he gave us life, and he gave it to us abundantly. So thank you for that. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, let our hearts be filled with the joy of who Jesus Christ is. He is our Lord and Savior, our friend, our good shepherd, our Savior. Heavenly Father, this morning as we begin this service, we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus, for the mercy and kindness and love that you spread to all of us, that you brought us to another year that we celebrate our birthday. Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for this magnificent opportunity to bless you and to pray for the glory of God and to hear your truth, for your word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. It is a day, Lord God, that we celebrate your Son's birthday. Lord, we thank you for you as well, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for all that you're doing and all that you've done for us on this side of heaven. We thank you for the safety that you and the highways you carried us through, the safety that you've given us through those highways. We thank you for the hedge of protection you kept not only around us, but around those ones. We thank you, Father, for all that you are doing and do on behalf. We bless you and we praise you in the name of God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this service today, and we thank you for all the faithful hearts that has taken time from their families to be on this call, to hear from you, Lord God. So, Father, we're coming and anticipating, Father, what you have for each and every one of us today to share to others, Lord, as we go out into this world. Lift our Lord, lift our spirits. Let our soul be connected to yours today. Let our joy be filled with joy in you today and no one else. Let our love, Lord, just overflow, Father, because of who you are and how much you have loved us. Lord, we thank you for this service. We ask that you bless Jeanette. And Lord, just pour out your spirit upon her as she brings forth the word she's searching in her heart that you've already given her, Father, to bring forth. Just remove Jeanette and allow you to speak to her and speak to us as well. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your Son, that you bring forth the rich word of your word. Lord, bless her and bless everything around her, Father. Bless the whole household. Bless everyone's household that is on this call. Let our homes be filled with love and joy of you and the grace and mercy of you, Lord God. We thank you for this opportunity and all the friends that are on this call, all the brothers and sisters. We thank you for them, Father. And we thank you for those that want to be on the call and unable to do it. Lord, we ask you to bless and pour out your spirit in our lives. Holy Spirit of the living God, come on. You're welcome. Come on in, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Have your way in each and every one of us today. We thank you for this. And we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word and become doers of what we hear. Blessed be your Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
There's an echo.
Yeah. Is someone on speakerphone?
Alexandra is, but I don't know if I can hold the phone. And, hold on, let me see. Just speak loudly so I can hear you. Hello?
Hello.
Good morning. Who just joined us?
Yeah.
How's it sounding, friend?
No, she texted me. Ask me if there was.
Okay. Is the echo still there?
No, it's good now.
Oh, that's what Jess was on the other end. No, that didn't sound like her own voice. Okay. We are going to do a couple of things. I know that we're in the book of Acts. We've been in the book of Acts for a couple of months now. And we're going to end in the book of Acts, but we're going to deal with the Christmas story, because I woke up this morning and what was on my heart is, why shepherds? Of all the people, why shepherds? So let's, Sandra, if you would go to Matthew, the first chapter.
Okay.
And if you would start at the 18th verse.
Matthew 1:18. Okay. All righty. You ready?
Yes.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Continue.
Yes, just read straight through to chapter 2.
Through chapter 2, okay. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born?
Sandra, it started at verse 18 of chapter 1 and read through to chapter 2.
Okay. So chapter Matthew 1.
Verse 18.
Okay. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God within us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Okay, so first of all, Jesus is prophesied, but the Lord comes to Mary, and he lets her know what's going to go on, and as when we were dealing with last week in the Christmas play, we talked about how Mary really was only about 13 years old, and she had to receive what the Lord was telling her. And that's all of us. When God gives you a promise, you have to stand on it. If you don't, you can get out of the way of that. Imagine, and you would say, gee, they weren't doing that back then. But imagine if Mary heard what the angel said, knew what kind of predicament that was going to put her in. She stood the possibility of being stoned. How is Joseph going to react when his bride-to-be pops out pregnant and he hasn't touched her? That's not... But Mary said, let it be unto me as you have said. That's the first lesson today, is we must receive what, when God speaks, he's going to take you to it. He'll take you through it. If he gives you a circumstance, some kind of challenge that you have to face, or even we bring it on ourselves, he'll still see you through it because he's promised to do that. But we have to stand on that promise, not jump ahead and solve the problem ourselves.
What if Mary said, well, there's no way Joseph's going to believe this. I'm going to go in hiding because they're going to stone me. She had to trust that God was in this. He appeared. An angel appeared, told her this is going to happen. But the angel, notice, didn't bother to say, oh, by the way, this child that's born to you is going to be. He tells them all about you. Didn't say, Mary, I'm going to help you through this. He didn't say, Mary, don't worry about, you know, what's going to happen to you, Joseph, and all what's coming. He didn't give her that. His presence, his word should be assurance enough to us.
Amen.
You're going to notice that as you get closer to the Lord, he'll talk to you about a lot of things, but there's a lot of things that he's going to lead you to walk this out in faith. You're going to be challenged to trust him with unusual circumstances. Okay, I'm going to just step out there and I pray I fall in your hands. And you will. So Mary believes and she trusts and she doesn't know how Joseph is going to be convinced that she's pregnant by a spirit that came upon her. That's kind of hard to sell. But God in his faithfulness appears to Joseph as Joseph has a dream. And in the dream, Joseph is told, don't worry about it. The thing that's born, being conceived in Mary, is from God. So she had to trust. She did. And then the Lord made a way and touched Joseph in a way that he would understand. It's interesting to me that the angel appeared to Mary, but visited Joseph in a dream. I want to say this because it's important that we understand it and embrace it. God does not deal with each of us the same. Don't look over at the way he deals with one person and then resent the way he deals with you. Maybe he speaks to you in dreams. Maybe he just quickens your heart. Maybe you've never had a vision. Maybe you've never had conversation with the Lord, and somebody else says, oh, yeah, we talk all the time. The Lord deals with each of us differently, and we have to accept our lane, whatever our lane is. Okay, so now we're going to shoot over to Luke. Exandra?
Here.
Okay. Go over to Luke, and we're going to go to verse 8 of chapter 2. For those of you who may not be as familiar with your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all accounts of what Jesus did in the 3-year ministry on earth. It starts with his birth and it ends with his death and resurrection. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But all of their accounts are a little bit different. If we stayed in Matthew, Matthew doesn't mention the shepherds. Matthew goes straight to the kings. But who did he appear to first? Start on verse 8, Alexandra.
Luke 1:8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Continue.
Yes.
And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Continue.
Amen. Nope.
Amen.
Amen. Now we're going to deal with the shepherds. Why do you think the Lord appears with the angels first, or to shepherds? Why do the angels bring this message of good tidings? Why does he bring it to shepherds? There's all kinds of people he can bring it to. He could have brought it to a faithful priest, right?
He could have.
He could have brought it to the kings.
Could have.
But he brings it to shepherds, which were nearby.
Why shepherds?
Why shepherds?
I think because shepherds understand the caring of sheep and how much a sheep knows their voice. And so with something associated with their caring for the sheep, as shepherds were that type of people.
I agree with you, too.
Anybody else? Any reason?
The concept of, the sheep knows the shepherd's voice. I like that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go a little bit deeper. Great answer. Absolutely. But I'm going to go a little deeper. Can't see if he's on. Shepherds were despised among most men.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Why?
Did you
because
say
they
despised?
Were considered
right.
Why are they considered unclean? Is because they work with mass flocks. And Egyptians, for example, really look down on shepherds because Egyptians worked with cows, but they only used them for their milk and that sort of thing. They did not eat the cow. They did tanning, used their skin, but they didn't eat. Egyptians were predominantly vegetarians. So anybody who hangs out with meat all day, and I want you to get the visual, be a shepherd for a second, and go to the pasture land where shepherds are, and you're going to smell these sheep. They're not clean. They're out in the dirt all day. And there's all kinds of bugs and flies all around all the time because they're constantly pooping. Oh. And the shepherds, they're not in a place to go take a bath. So they come in and they're dirty. And that would be considered unclean. So they were, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of something that Richard and I were talking about the other day, how ball players, athletes are, treated with royalty in this country. They're worshipped in this country. The finest of food is fed to them in this country. And yet teachers who prepare the future of this country, they prepare the minds of children for the future of this country, they're paid the least. It is so bad that in the Bay Area of California, they were advertising at the beginning of the school year encouraging people to rent a room to teachers because they want the teachers but won't pay them enough to even be able to afford an apartment.
Yep.
So they're, you know, trying to encourage people, open your doors to a teacher. Oh, my gosh, really?
Mm-hmm.
But yet we give $40 million to a ball player.
What?
One of those million could give four teachers a decent salary.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm. One of the million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shepherds were considered lowly, unclean, not particularly despised, but that's the last job you would really want to have. This is not the first time we've seen the Lord elevate a shepherd. Hmm. You've got David's people. This is the line that Jesus came from, David's people. They didn't come from blue. They didn't come from white collar. They didn't come from a silver spoon. They didn't come from privilege.
Mm-hmm.
The shepherds is from where the Lord drew King David. King David is the line Jesus came through, the lowliest of people.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to talk a little bit about the character of a shepherd. Richard hit on it. Things, and this is so beautiful to me. One of the things that shepherds were known for was being trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
They were known to be trustworthy. Why am I saying that? Because some of these sheep in these pens don't belong to them.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody will say, call me up, Google shepherds. Okay, we got a couple of people that do shepherding. I've got about 10 that, and I want them to be taken out to a particular, and I want them to be well taken care of. I want them to be safe. I want them to be nurtured, but they're my sheep. So let me Google shepherds on the go. Oh, there it is. And they will take care of those sheep. They will not run off with the sheep. They could. Because once the sheep are put in their hands, they could just, you know, disappear with everybody's sheep. But they were known for being trustworthy. And not just trustworthy that I'll bring you your sheep back, but trustworthy to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
Trusted to give a good report of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Trusted to protect them with their life. Trusted. Now, you've got the worst job on the planet, which has you working the night shift.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else gets to do their work by day with daylight and, you know, all the trading and the merchandise or the dyeing of fabric or the building of whatever they build. They work by day. They sleep good at night. Not a shepherd. He's got the night shift. He works all night, every night. He works nights. And he can be trusted to not fall asleep. Because it's in darkness that the enemy tends to prowl around.
Amen. Amen.
It's in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't show his hand. He does his best. Though I'm finding in the times we're living in right now, he's showing his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Any time of the day, he's showing his hand.
Amen.
But still, there's another evil that's unleashed in the dark.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you wouldn't just walk up and do, you do in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Shepherds, they are trustworthy. They also know boundaries. Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Shepherds set boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Shepherds set boundaries. I'm going to cross over for a minute. Why do we have boundaries? Why do we have boundaries?
Well, one, to protect our hearts and minds.
Mm-hmm.
To protect us.
Mm-hmm. Protect us.
So the shepherd who today, and I'll come back to them, but the shepherds today or the leaders of a flock today, they too set boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And they set boundaries for our own protection. If your pastor is telling you probably not a good idea to see this particular movie, it's demonic.
Mm-hmm.
There are definitely dark forces involved in the creation of this movie. I strongly suggest you don't watch it. Don't watch it. That's one of the almost gifts that he gives a shepherd, is to know where to set these boundaries that would create the safest place to protect you from what is out there. What was out there? Wolves. Wolves, mm-hmm. bears. David encountered them. Lions. They have a small opening that they would lay their body across, so that if an animal is trying to get into that small opening of the boundaries that they set, they would make a pin, and the boundaries would keep the majority of the animals out. But there's got to be an opening to get the sheep in and get the sheep out. Mm-hmm. So they would lay their body and sleep and rest with one eye open in that opening, so that if an animal's trying to get through, you got to go through me first. Mm-hmm. What an amazing job. Mm-hmm. So you that are in leadership, evangelists, because I'm getting to that, pastors, you're going to find that there's a protectiveness that begins to come over you. You're not going to be okay with somebody that you are ministering to sitting under some crazy teaching. That's going to bother you. But it's going to say, you know what, hold on, flock. Come back. That's
right. Amen.
Well, I have had that feeling.
That's because the first evangelist for the, how beautiful, the first evangelist for the coming of Christ were the shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
They were the first evangelists. What did they do? They went about and began to tell everybody about the things that they saw. And people could believe them because they're shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
They got absolutely nothing to lose or to gain. And they're trustworthy. Trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not too many even professions here on earth can we talk about that. That is a trustworthy profession.
Preach.
When people leave their kids with you, they're trusting you with their kids. And that has proven to be dangerous.
Yeah.
So first evangelists ever are these shepherds. And the angels appear to them. They have boundaries. When you are in the council of whoever it is that feeds you, trust that when they're setting boundaries, they're for your good. They're not to control you. They're for your good. They're telling you, hey, might not want to go to that part of town. I know you want to party, but that part of town, probably not the best part of town to be in unless you're, you know, coming in with troops. And they're warnings. They give you warnings. So he comes to the lowliest of mankind. And yet, why is it that in the lowliest of mankind is where we find the best character?
Yeah.
Your merchant seller, who goes all over the world on ships and brings back all kinds of fine things, might sell a mirror to an African for the cost of his boat. Because he can. I've never seen a mirror before. This is a very cool thing.
Right.
So merchants may don't fall in the same category as trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
They may be rich, mm-hmm. but that doesn't make them trustworthy. Mm-hmm. But God comes to the lowest of us.
Mm-hmm.
And those of you in leadership, you will find that your heart, even if you're evangelistic, not pastoral, some people think, well, just because I'm an evangelist, so I don't really have the heart of a pastor. Of course you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you're going to come out high, because maybe shepherding a large congregation is not what you do. But you bring the good news and the word and that same protectiveness while you're walking with somebody that's in the shepherd is in you.
Amen.
It's just a different scale. It's more out than in. More out of the church than in the church.
Yes.
What else do we know about shepherds? How about that they will give up their life for sheep?
Amen.
They will give up their life for sheep. These are the kind of character qualities, obviously, that God is pleased. That you would lay your life down for somebody else.
Yes.
So, why the shepherds? Because it seems like the people of lowest means have highest character. Am I saying that the rich people can't have good character?
No.
Of course not. But what I am saying is that there are people that have learned to do without and have learned what's valuable, and they make that valuable, and they sacrifice. And that's what the heart that God is looking for, and he called them the first evangelists. Called them to be that. We're going to flip right on over to Acts, where we are going to run to the 20th chapter. And we're going to hit the 20th chapter, the 28th verse. This is why I was having such a hard time, so it's flipping all over.
Are you ready?
Yes, Acts 20th chapter, 28th verse.
Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Wow.
Stop right there.
Also, from,
we're going to stop right there.
Yes.
Paul knew that with all of his teaching, as long as he was there with them, they were going to have a certain level of safety. Why is that?
Yes. Yes.
Because he's the good shepherd.
Exactly. And he's covering.
There's only one good shepherd. So Paul is their shepherd.
Right.
And he knows that when he removes himself, why is that? Why is that?
Is it because of the level that he's walking with in Christ? Mm-hmm. That they're baby Christians, virgin Christians, new to the faith.
Yes.
And he knows what happens when new Christians are left alone in those beginning times. The enemy, he perks up.
Mm-hmm. So who is he talking to? When he says, for I know that, in verse 27, 28, therefore take heed to yourself and to all the flocks among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Who is he talking to?
Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the leadership among Christians.
He's talking to the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Paul has spent this time with this group preparing them to be leaders,
mm-hmm.
preparing them to be overseers. Mm-hmm. And if they don't do and embrace what they're called to do, then all the others. So let's take a look at Second Chance, and let's take a look at this ministry. So say, for example, we come in and we train and teach leaders, and then the Lord says, hey, I'd like you to go to Ghana or to North Carolina or to another region in California. If the leadership that has taken that region, because it's supposed to grow people.
Right.
It's supposed to grow. And if you're not doing what you've been taught to do, well, then everyone just disperses.
If
I left this hill, that should have very little impact on the hill.
Right. Amen.
Because Tammy lives here, and he's raising up other people here, and there's other pastors and ministers here. But if they just say, well, Jeanette's gone, what will happen?
Right.
It will scatter.
They'll disappear, yeah.
Divert back to, and they'll be eaten alive because of the deception of new teachers that will come in.
Yes.
And
amen.
Paul already knows, and Paul is referring to that predominantly even Jewish leaders, soon as they can get that Paul out the way, then the Jewish leaders are going to come in and embrace them most likely and say, oh, we're so happy to have you part of, well, we're going to call it Christianity, but it's really Judaism. Yeah. But we're really glad to have you part of this, right? They sneak in, and then they try and tie them back up. Mm-hmm. They try to embody them again in the law.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says, they're coming.
Right. Like the wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're coming. They will come as your friend, and they will come as your destroyer, whichever you are most responsive to.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about is the times we're living in right now. Mm-hmm. That's what's coming. If you don't get plugged in where you're learning and you're straight, you know, I found myself this morning, I was just meditating on the things of, and how is this church, how are we going to handle the persecution that's on the horizon? Oh, it is on the horizon.
Oh, yes.
Are you strong enough that if they knocked on the door right now and said it's going to cost you your job, it's going to cost you your home, it's going to cost you, so are you going to hold on to this Christian thing or let it go? How many of us are strong enough to, having done all, to stand and say, you know what, I'm going to continue to bring God's word, and if you kill me, you kill me. I will be the first shepherd that lost my life.
Hallelujah.
It will be an honor to lose whatever this world is trying to entice me with. It would be an honor to lose that. For his name's sake. We have to get ready, and the people that we're ministering to have to get strong enough that they can honestly say that. Well, I would have laid down my life with my kids. I would have laid down my life, but I still got my this or my that or this, or I've amassed an enormous amount of money, and I can't let that go. Why did I say let it go? Because we may be challenged in a very, very shortly that if you're not going to get the chip, you're not going to be able to do business. You will not be able to buy. You will not be able to sell. Are you ready? Are the people with you ready? That's what we need to get to. That's where we need to get to, where we are ready, where we can handle what's coming. Because your faith has been so strengthened. Because the Holy Spirit in you has been so planted and grown that he will take you through those trying moments. Do you think that Stephen was just spit out where he could face being stoned?
No way.
True.
Stephen was able to face that because as he looked up and he saw the heaven open, but Stephen was already on his knees. He was already there before he saw heaven open. There's no account of Stephen flailing and screaming and trying to run away. There's no account of that. And we're going to see this as we continue this journey in Acts when we get to Paul. Paul has every warning that if he goes to Rome, he's not coming back. And yet Paul says, it's okay with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't value my life more than the bringing of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
I don't value my life more than however he chooses to use me. And if it means I go to Rome and I don't come back, I don't come back. If it means that this is going to be a hard road, a road of suffering, I'm willing.
Yes.
Are we there yet?
Mm.
Coming.
Hallelujah.
But you will be ready when that time comes, because he will see to it that you are.
Amen.
Yes.
And if it
Hallelujah.
Is more than you, you won't face it.
Right.
Just so, if it is more than you can bear, you won't face it.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Hopefully there will be those of us who are walking where we can face it.
Mm-hmm.
And we willingly lay down our life. But if it is more than you can bear, he will guide you through it.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Oh, because he said so.
Because he loved us. Yeah.
Very
simple.
Yeah. That I will not put on you more than you can bear.
More than you can bear, yes.
You're a baby Christian, and you just heard of these things, and you're fearful, or you're hearing things that give you pause. You don't have to worry, because whatever you need to make through, you'll have it in that very hour that you need it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's,
preach that right there. Yes. Amen.
He doesn't expect an infant or a toddler to be able to wield a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So just let that be to all of us as we face the times that we're facing, rather than let it be with such fear and trepidation. Well, I don't know if I could handle it. If I was looking at a guillotine, could I get my head chopped off? You don't even have to go there, because if you can't, you won't.
Mm.
The Lord will handle each one of us. Oh, did we talk about that at the beginning of this? That each one of us is given, he visits us and he communicates with us. And not only that, but he handles us according to what he knows about you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not missing information.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Say, for example, you're the type of person who projects yourself to be so strong. But inside, you're really just a very broken person. That's why you present strength. You present strength so nobody will get close and realize you're a broken person.
Yeah.
When God sees you, he sees the whole thing. He sees the wall you've constructed, and he sees the brokenness inside of you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And that's a beautiful thing to know.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That's why bother not to be honest with God when you talk to him?
Yes.
He's looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to say, Lord, he's looking right at me. He knows how I really am
constructed.
And he takes it into consideration in how he handles me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So when I come out swinging, especially in my earlier years, I just come out swinging. It's not because I want to hurt people. It's not because I'm mean-spirited. It's because I want to make sure that everyone knows that I'll protect myself. It's because I'm terrified.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been known to run into something that's terrifying me. Because I'm more afraid of the fear. I can't
right.
feel fear. So I've had a head over me tincture that I was walking home, and I was about 3 houses from where I lived. And this Doberman, I had passed him way up the block, and he was sitting like a statue on his yard. I didn't think much of him. All of a sudden, I get this alarm coming from my back. I turn around, and Doberman is galloping towards me.
Wow.
My reaction first was, I can't get to my house faster than this dog can get to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned around and I started charging the Doberman. I started running to that Doberman, and I was making so much noise, the Doberman stopped. He eyeballed me.
And he turned around.
That wasn't out of crazy. That was out of stark fear.
Yes. Oh, that's a beautiful story.
So the Lord is looking. And he sees you clearly. And whatever we're going to be facing in 2023, whatever pestilence, whatever the spiritual wickedness in high places have planned for us, God will carry us right through as he's carried you this far already.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you
Amen.
Close your eyes and look back to where he's already brought you from.
Yes, yes.
There's an old song that says, I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
Amen.
Nobody told me the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. There's nobody under the sound of my voice that that's the case.
Yeah.
He didn't just bring you to this point so he can watch you fail. He's working his hand in your life, molding you.
Thank you, Lord.
And patiently molding you. But some of us are so damaged from so deep that it has to take time for you to he can't cut it off the right arm. But if he waits a little while and he gives it some time and he just scrapes a little at a time, it won't be so dramatically catastrophic to you. So depending on where you're from will might be a reflection on where you find yourself. So don't get caught up in comparing yourself to somebody else. They didn't come from where you came from.
Amen.
Yes.
There are people coming from spiritual strongholds all the way back generationally.
Preach.
So they're coming from a place you don't know nothing about.
Amen.
So when God looks and he says, wow, dang, you're still doing the prostitution thing. I thought we got past that, or we need to get past that. And the Lord says, actually, that's not even a concern of mine right now. Right now, I need the way you see yourself.
Amen.
To heal and cut out that root that's deeper than that. He's not spending his time worried about how you're failing. He's worried about why you're failing.
Come on now, preach that.
And why he will with if you will just gently submit that to him. He's willing to do that. But he's got to get you first to see that, you know, you're kind of messed up. And who isn't?
Amen.
Really?
Who isn't?
All of them.
I looked back yesterday, Reflection Day for me. I was sitting around, you know, this Christmas tree is blocking the sunlight from coming in the house the way it normally does.
But it's so pretty. It's so pretty.
But as I was reflecting and looking back, I saw how many times that I made rebellious decisions, things that God did warn me. Someone will say, well, this wasn't your fault. You had no way of knowing. I don't get that pass.
Right.
I did know.
Right.
I saw the signs. I knew what they meant, and I went forward anyway. And I used to say, well, it's because I just really like that relationship issues. You know what the Lord brought to me yesterday? Because as you grow up, he deals with you a little different. He said, no, Jeanette. He said, what you've had is a rebellious spirit, a disobedient and rebellious spirit. He told me that yesterday. I was like, what do I say? I've been giving it all these years, excuses. But finally, now the Lord says, now we're going after the root. You can blame your mama. You can blame your daddy. ADHD. You can come up with whatever you want. But at the end of the day now, Jeanette, I'm going to call it what it is.
Oh.
First time he's ever done this.
Mm.
Not like that. He's always, you know, just coddled me in my...
Right.
Well, forgive me for the mistakes that I've made. Those aren't mistakes.
Yeah. Mm.
Those were rebellious, self-willed disobedience time and time again.
Right.
That's not easy to say, but that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now I had to repent of something else.
Yes.
And the mistakes. Those weren't mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord has accepted that. Mm-hmm. Okay, she's sort of sorry. She hasn't even come to terms with what the root of this is.
Yeah.
And then I said,
right.
Willful disobedience? Rebellious?
Mm.
I said, I see that in one of my sons. Oh, wait. I see it. Oh, that's a lovely thing that I passed down to them. Going to do it your way, see what happens.
Yeah. Preach.
And then try to kind of make it something it's not.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a service here because it's Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want everybody under the sound of my voice for this 7-day period really reflect and ask God to really reveal to you what he needs to that's standing in the way of you being everything he plans on you being. I'm 63. I don't get a do-over.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd like to blame him for that and say, oh, now you tell me. Yeah, well, now that I realize it was rebellion and disobedience, willful.
Yeah.
He said willful. He used the word willful.
Mm-hmm. Ouch.
And that is what has delayed my journey here.
Ouch.
Right.
Wow.
So what can I do? All I can do is be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest about it so that he can forgive and I'll take this as far down the road as I have left.
Yes,
you know, where I
amen.
Had I been not willful and disobedient and rebellious, and it's my... When he used those words, you know how the Holy Spirit is. Everything in me resonated. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
But I want you to reflect this week. When you drift to sleep at night or you wake up in the morning and you're laying in bed. You know, we focused a lot in these studies on the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you watch TV for hours.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have a problem with this or you have a problem with that. Those are the behaviors. Those are the symptoms of something deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're growing, especially in leadership, we got to get this stuff.
Right.
Even if it hurts. That hurt me for you to call me willfully disobedient.
Right.
Right. That has costed me greatly was made out of willful rebellion and disobedience because I did know better.
Mm-hmm.
When you were only young, you couldn't have possibly known. I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And it has delayed my destiny, my journey.
Mm-hmm.
It delayed it. I'm surviving the decisions I've made.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get this out of the way while you're yet young.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Can get and recognize if you have a propensity towards whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, it's denial. I can't claim that one. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord will. Mm-hmm. He'll work with it. He'll work with you where you are if you're willing.
Right.
So ask the Lord this week
right.
to begin to reveal the deeper roots of the problem.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Again, not your mom.
Yes, Lord.
Not your dad.
Please, Lord.
Amen.
If it's a generational propensity, which is clearly in my case because I've passed it on to both kids, it's a generational propensity. When you come face to face with something that egregious to God, It's time to let it go.
Yes, it is.
It's time to ask for forgiveness and ask for healing in that area, because it's got to stop. You can't. You can't. Doesn't matter anymore where it comes from. You get to be past 20 years old. I don't care what your mom or dad did.
Yes.
Now you have responsibility for the choices you're making.
Yes.
And
yes.
if you're making
choices
to help you and be willing to.
Yes, Lord.
You will get nowhere blaming someone else for where you are.
Come
that's,
on.
That's
preach.
That's going to delay your healing.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes.
You know, sometimes we think that we're healed from it, me in particular, because I don't do it anymore. But the reality is, and in two situations for me, it's that I didn't have to deal with it. So when I retired, I was no longer a workaholic because I didn't work anymore, and I thought I was healed from it. And then I realized that I still was. But there's a lot of
deeper.
So that's right. That's right. So recently I discovered I had some real deep relationship issues that I thought I had been healed from. But I hadn't been in a relationship. I just realized that. It's like, it knocked me down. It knocked me on my, flat on my face when this happened, because I'm like, what do you mean? I thought I was healed from this. But it because I never had opportunity to face it, and so I thought it was healed. So I think be cautious. There's the scripture, and I forget the 1 Corinthians something. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And what's the rest of it? I can't think of the rest of it, but so you need to be careful, because, and I heard that scripture quoted over and over in my recovery program. And I always thought, that's not going to happen to me. What does that mean? Until it happened. So
because God has been gracious with Tammy and didn't even allow her to face the trial she could pass.
Right.
Yeah, amen. But God is that way. Thank you for that, Miss Jeanette. That's beautiful. That's humbling.
You will fail this test. You're not ready for this test, so I'm not letting you take it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But God, so he just let me. Let her take it. Yeah.
He did give me the ability, and he just gave me the ability to not be tested. He's beyond what I could bear.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. She was able, she took the fourth grade test. She wasn't given the sixth grade test. She was given a test that was capable of passing.
Amen.
She was
Amen.
Because he didn't even let her take a test at all, because she was too damaged to be able to pass that test.
Earlier. Amen.
I got it. So I got it. You're looking too. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall.
Mm-hmm.
No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. That
Amen.
You.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was tempted, and he did make a way of escape, and I didn't take it.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
Right.
That's what rebellion, disobedience.
We're all guilty of that. We're all guilty.
I did that too in relationship.
Amen.
We're all guilty of that.
Verse to close on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, add a blessing to the reader. And the hearers,
thank you. Yes.
Ask the Spirit, Lord, begin to work in our hearts and let us be
Lord.
Available for you to work on us, Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Bring to mind with each person, Lord, whatever it is in their life that they need to be willing to admit and lay at the foot of the cross.
Hallelujah.
And we know, Lord, that it won't be I'm just getting to disobedience and rebellious, and God knows what's in front of that and how much.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
But we're going to lay everything at your feet.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah, yes.
That's how we'll come into the new year, Lord. We will lay it at your feet.
Yes,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Give us the repentant heart, Lord.
Yes,
give us.
Yes, Father. Contrast.
Thank you, Jesus.
Please.
Amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone. God bless.
Merry Christmas.
Remember the reach out.
It's so nice to hear your voice, Jesse. Love you. Yes, reach out.
Love you.
Reach out and cuss. Yep. Have a blessed day. Bye.
Amen. All right, everyone.
Oh.
I'm going to introduce.